Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam Brahma Nirvana Samadhi Masritam. Mana Samadhi Mamasritam. Vyupasritam Girisam Yoga Kaksam. Salokapala Munayo Munanam. Adhyam manum pranjalaya pranamu pranemu. Adhyam manum pranjalaya pranemu. Maras. Brahm. Tamno yoga kaksam. Adhyam manum pranjalaya pranemu. Tam unto him, or him, Lord Shiva. Brahman Nirvana in Brahmananda. So this word is going to be discussed in the first part of Srila Prabhupada's purport. So Brahman Nirvana in Brahmananda. Samadhim, entrance. Ashritam, absorbed. So, tam Brahma Nirvana Samadhim Ashritam. Him, tam, who remembers what tam means? Yes, it's referring to Lord Shiva. So, up until this point, Lord Shiva had become, he was very disturbed because Sati, his wife, had committed sati. She had self-emulated herself. She had burnt up in flames by her own power. And this was causing such a devastation because Lord Shiva had gone, the demigods were all very frightened. Daksha had been beheaded. And the demigods were now approaching Lord Shiva to pacify him. So Lord Shiva was tam Brahma Nirvana Samadhim Asritam. He was situated in Brahma Nirvana, in Brahmananda, the ecstasy, the supreme ecstasy. Samadhim, in trance. And Asritam, he was absorbed, taking shelter of, or absorbed in a full trance of ecstasy. Then the next line. Vyupasritam, he was leaning on Girisham, Lord Shiva. He was leaning on doesn't say exactly here, but sometimes we see Lord Shiva leaning on a rod to support his hand. Lord Shiva, yoga kaksham, having his left knee firmly fixed with a knotted cloth. Left knee firmly fixed with a knotted cloth. So he was sitting in some asana. So Lord Shiva was absorbed very deeply in Brahmananda, in ecstasy. And the next line, Salokapala, along with the demigods headed by Indra, Munaya, the sages, Munanam, of all thinkers. So they were approaching, the demigods and the sages were approaching Lord Shiva as he was situated in Brahmananda, in his yogic trance. Adyam, the chief. Manum, thinker. Pranjalaya, with folded palms. Pranemu, they offered their pranams, they offered their respectful obeisances to him. All the great demigods had come, and the great munis, the great thinkers, had come to pay their respects to the greatest of thinkers, Lord Shiva. He was fully absorbed again in yogic trance. Here is Srila Prabhupada's translation. I'll read it first and then we shall repeat. All the sages and demigods headed by Indra offered their respectful obeisances unto Lord Shiva with folded hands. Lord Shiva was dressed in saffron garments and absorbed in trance, thus appearing to be the foremost of all sages. Please repeat. All the sages and demigods, headed by Indra, offered their respectful obeisances unto Lord Shiva with folded hands. Lord Shiva was dressed in saffron garments and absorbed in trance, thus appearing to be the foremost of all sages. What does foremost mean? What does foremost mean? Yes, he looked as if he was the topmost of all sages. And indeed, he was. Why? Because he was absorbed fully. His consciousness was fully absorbed in the words of this verse, Brahmananda, or Brahmanirvana. Brahmanirvana samadhim. Samadhi, his consciousness, was fully fixed in his trance, meditating on Brahma, on the greatest. Now, Srila Prabhupada's purport has three paragraphs, and each one of them has a wonderful point that fits together. So I'll read the first one, and I'm going to ask you, what is the point? So please listen. In this verse, the word Brahmananda is significant. This Brahmananda, or Brahmanirvana, is explained by Prahlad Maharaj. When one is completely absorbed in Adhokshaja, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the sense perception of materialistic persons, one is situated in Brahmananda. That's the first paragraph. Now, what do you remember from that? Because sometimes, even a short paragraph, if our mind, now at least our mind is trapped in, it can't go upward because of the shade cloth. What do you remember from that? Raise your hand if you remember something. Just raise your hand if you remember something. Raise your hand if you'd like me to read it again. Okay, please listen. It's a short paragraph, two sentences. In this verse, the word Brahmananda is significant. Three sentences, excuse me. Well, I could ask now, what do you remember? In this verse, the word Brahmananda is significant. This Brahmananda, or Brahmanirvana, is explained by Prahlad Maharaj. And here is the definition. When one is completely absorbed in Adhokshaja, one's consciousness fully absorbed in Adhokshaja, in the Supreme Lord who is transcendental, who is beyond the sense perception of materialistic persons, one is situated in Brahmananda. Okay, who remembers something? Very difficult question. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, why not? Yes, it's very significant. What is the significance of Brahmananda? Yes, Prabhu. One who is completely absorbed in Adhokshaja. And who is Adhokshaja? What is the definition of Adhokshaja? Because when we hear Prabhupada's purports, we should consider that Prabhupada is speaking to us. And this is something that everyone is longing for, to get instructions from Srila Prabhupada. So he wants to tell us something about this verse. This verse appears to be a very simple verse, but we shall hear where Prabhupada takes us with this verse through his purport. So first, he's defining what Brahmananda is. And what is Brahmananda again? Properly describe, raise your hands, please. What is Brahmananda? Yes? An Adhokshaja. And what is Adhokshaja? Mataji, teacher Mataji. Yes. Beyond the perception of our senses. So that is a very interesting concept. Already it's so interesting because one's consciousness is absorbed in something that's practically speaking for the materialistic person inconceivable. Completely inconceivable, and yet Lord Shiva is absorbed in that. Inconceivable for the materialistic person, beyond the sense perception of materialistic persons. But yet Lord Shiva is absorbed in that, and he's experiencing Brahma Ananda, the highest, the greatest ecstasy. And yet, Adhokshaja, beyond material perception. Now, what will Prabhupada say next? Please listen. I'll give you a hint. He's going to speak about Adhokshaja. What does Adhokshaja mean? Beyond. So he's going to speak about something, someone, actually, beyond our ability to perceive with our material consciousness. It is impossible, Prabhupada said. So also, I will ask you what you remember. So please listen. It is impossible to conceive of the existence, name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is transcendentally situated beyond the conception of materialistic persons. Because materialists cannot imagine or conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they may think that God is dead, but factually, he is always existing in his Satchidananda Vigraha, his eternal form. Constant meditation, concentrated on the form of the Lord, is called samadhi, ecstasy, or trance. Samadhi means particularly concentrated attention. So one who has achieved the qualification of always meditating on the Supreme Personality, on the Personality of Godhead, is to be understood to be always in trance and enjoying Brahma Nirvana or Brahmananda. Lord Shiva exhibited those symptoms, and therefore it is stated that he was absorbed in Brahmananda. What do you remember from this second paragraph? Let me read it again. It is impossible to conceive of the existence, name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is transcendentally situated beyond the conception of materialistic persons. Because materialists cannot imagine or conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they may think that God is dead. But factually, he is always existing in his Satchitananda Vigraha. But why can't we, my materialistic mind, I cannot conceive of him. Anta Bahira Vastitam, Kunti Devi says, that he is inside and outside of everything. He is everywhere, and yet I cannot perceive him anywhere. He is everywhere, and I cannot perceive him anywhere. So therefore, I may conclude that God is dead, Prabhupada has explained, or that he doesn't exist, but actually, he eternally always exists. He is everywhere. This is what Prabhupada is telling us. He's everywhere, inside, outside, everywhere. And constant meditation, and he's there also in his Satchitananda Vigraha, in full form. Now this is quite amazing, because we would normally think with our materialistic conceptual ability that if something or someone is everywhere, how can we conceive of him having a form? And this was the issue that Lord Nisringadev concluded. He brought to a conclusion this question, because when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, "You always say that there is someone more powerful than me, Prahlad. You say there is someone more supreme than I am, but I don't see him. Where is he? Where is he, Prahlad?" And Prahlad answered, he's everywhere, because his realization was deep. And Prahlad indeed was also in samadhi, continuously meditating, focusing on the Lord, premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena, with prema. So Hiranyakashipu replied to Prahlad that you say he's everywhere, I don't see him anywhere, and if he's everywhere, therefore he's also in the pillar over here. And Prahlad said yes, because if he's everywhere, he's specifically somewhere, everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu then said, as we well know, then I'm going to kill you, but before I kill you, I'm going to kill your Lord, your so-called Lord, who you say is everywhere. So Hiranyakashipu pulled out his sword but struck the pillar with his fist. And we all know the happy ending of that pastime. Bloody and happy. The materialistic people cannot conceive of this one, because when you show them a picture, here is our God, and there's a picture of a lion with claws wearing intestines around his neck with his claws dripping blood. And the devotees, seeing this form of the Lord, become so happy, seeing how Krishna, practically the personified anger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, burst from that pillar. Not in an impersonal form. Of course, that's a contradiction. An impersonal form cannot be. But in form. He was everywhere, but in form. Everywhere, but in form. Fully present in form everywhere. This is inconceivable to the materialistic conceptual mind, the materialistic mind. If I take a paper and rip it up and throw it everywhere, the paper is gone. But Krishna is everywhere, and yet he's there in form. This is called Achintya Shakti. And as Srila Prabhupada said, that there is no meaning to God unless we accept that he has Achintya Shakti. So, constant meditation, concentrated on the form of the Lord, is called samadhi. And this is perfection. When the consciousness is fully focused on the Supreme Lord, then one's consciousness is perfect. And indeed, as will come out really in the third paragraph, that this is the basic instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chant the names of Krishna. But chant the names of Krishna, Sadahari, chant his names, but with focus, concentration. Not chanting the names of Krishna, but the mind is completely somewhere else, thinking about everything else in the creation of the Lord. That is not samadhi, that is external. But we want to learn how to be in this kind of samadhi. And Prabhupada explains here, samadhi means particularly concentrated attention. So one who has achieved the qualification of always meditating on the personality of Godhead is to be understood to be always in trance and enjoying Brahma-nirvana or Brahmananda, because this is going to be the result if somehow or another if somehow or another we can absorb our consciousness fully on the Lord, on Krishna, in the service of Krishna, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the service of Srila Prabhupada and his servants. If we can absorb our mind in that, our consciousness in that, fully focused, this is called samadhi, and the result of that is what? What did Prabhupada say? It is Brahma Nirvana or Brahmananda, ecstasy. So if we are not feeling ecstasy, it's because our consciousness is absorbed in things other than Krishna. And this is Maya. And this is Maya's job. Because nothing is external to Krishna. Nothing is actually separate from Krishna. And Maya's job, her service to Krishna, is to place a curtain over our eyes, so we don't see everything in connection to Krishna. And if we saw everything in connection with Krishna, there would be no chance of not being absorbed in Krishna, because our consciousness must focus on something, and something is part of everything, and everything has a connection to Krishna. Prabhupada there's lectures, at least two, where Prabhupada talks about how easy it is to be Krishna conscious. And he gives the example of Rasoham Apsukantaya, that everything, there is taste or water. Water is the cause of taste. So even when we're drinking water, we can think that taste that quenches our thirst, and everyone gets thirsty. And if we just think of the taste of water being Krishna, the active principle in the water will be Krishna conscious. And then Prabhupada, he explained that even a drunkard who's appreciating liquor, drinking liquor, if he thinks that the taste that I'm appreciating is Krishna, This is Prabhupada's liberal nature in his attempt to make everyone in the world, in the universe, Krishna conscious. Everyone can, even if one is a drunkard, can think rasoham apsukhantaya and begin, take a step to focusing one's consciousness always on Krishna and experiencing ecstasy. So if someone who has achieved the qualification of always meditating on the personality of Godhead is to be understood to be always in trance and enjoying Brahma-nirvana or Brahmananda. So in this second paragraph, Prabhupada is explaining more about this Brahmananda that Lord Shiva was absorbed in, his Brahma-nirvana. And Prabhupada concludes this paragraph by saying Lord Shiva exhibited those symptoms of being fully absorbed in the Supreme Lord in Adhokshaja. And this was the cause, if one remembers the beginning of this pastime, this was the cause of the great problem, we cannot say, between Daksha and Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva did not reciprocate with Daksha's envious mentality. But Daksha walked into the sacrificial arena, and Lord Shiva, who was fully absorbed in samadhi as always, fully absorbed in thoughts of Lord Shankarshan, fully absorbed in the beauty of Lord Shankarshan, in his transcendental form, in his sweet, soft, pinkish lotus feet, and his complexion, darkish, and his beautiful smile, and his beautiful hair, and his beautiful forearms, and his beautiful waist, and his beautiful navel, and powerful, beautiful thighs, and beautiful lotus eyes. So Lord Shiva was absorbed in thinking of Shankarshan, Lord Shankarshan, and therefore he did not stand up when Daksha entered, and Daksha became angry, thinking that this was a disrespect towards him. Well, actually, someone who is absorbed in the Lord, thinking always of the Lord, is giving the greatest respect to all living entities as well. He's seeing everyone in relationship to Krishna. He's seeing everyone, seeing Krishna in their hearts. Savasya chaham vide sanavisto. And actually, Lord Kapila explains in the third canto that unless we learn to see each other, see every living entity, every person, every body as having the Lord in the heart and giving respect to every living entity, Pandita Samadarshana, then we will, this is a position of Bhakta Praya, or almost a bhakta, or a kanishta bhakta, or prakrita bhakta. It's on a lower platform, kanishta. So Lord Shiva was on an ultimate platform. So therefore it is stated that he was absorbed in Brahmananda, because he was fully absorbed in his Lord. Now here is the final paragraph, and listen where Prabhupada takes this. Another significant word is yoga kaksham. Does anyone remember what yoga kaksham means? Excuse me? Good guess, but the wrong answer. Another significant word is yoga kaksham. Yoga kaksha is the sitting posture in which the left thigh is fixed under one's tightly knotted saffron-colored garments. Oh, if I wasn't so old, I would give a demonstration. Also the word manunam adyam. So he was sitting in his yogic asana, fully absorbed in thinking of the Lord, which is the purpose of yoga. Also the word manunam adyam, words manunam adyam are significant here, because they mean a philosopher, or one who is thoughtful and can think very nicely. So the purpose of the asana is not to just stretch one's body, but it is to make that combined with pranayama, is to make the consciousness very peaceful so one could be absorbed in the deepest of thoughts. And therefore the munis and the demigods were coming to Lord Shiva because of his depth, the depth of his thinking. And the ultimate deep or depth of thinking is when one is fully absorbed in the Lord. Now, this is not easy to do. One time, Srila Prabhupada was walking by the Pacific Ocean. This was perhaps, I think it was 1968 or 67 even, 68 I believe. And he asked the devotees who he was walking with, why is the Pacific, because Pacific means peaceful, why is the ocean peaceful? In other words, it's not being agitated. And even when no great waves, it's peaceful. And he asked why. And Prabhupada's reply was, because the devotees couldn't give an answer, he said, because it is deep. And if we want to see how deep we are in our Krishna consciousness, we should just measure it against our focus on Krishna. Because the material energy will always try to disrupt our meditation on Krishna. The universe is programmed to not cooperate with our desire to be Krishna conscious. Or looking at it another way, the universe or the material energy will test us day by day, month by month, year by year, minute by minute, to see how much we are actually able to focus on Krishna, to see what distracts us. What is it that distracts me from focusing my mind on Krishna with devotion? In my case, there are many, 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 many things that distract me. Because when I'm walking and someone pushes me, then I become angry at them. Someone walks by and either I like them or don't like them, I'm repulsed by them. Icha dvesha samutena dvanva mohena bharata. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. If we want to become fixed, we have to go beyond the dualities of this material world. Something is one icha, I desire it for my pleasure, or dvesha, I want to push it away because I don't think it's going to give me pleasure. To become deep, one has to be very focused, fully focused. On what? On Krishna. But not just on Krishna, because just focusing on Krishna, on the form of Krishna, is Shantaras, which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Rupa Goswami explain is not actually a rasa, but to be focused on one's service to that all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we saw in our life an example of Srila Prabhupada and even in Srila Prabhupada's followers, but especially in Srila Prabhupada, of someone who is so absorbed in his service to Krishna, which was spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world and throughout the universe even, that he did not think of anything else 24 hours a day. And this is what Prabhupada said. This is samadhi. If someone can somehow think consciousness on pleasing the Supreme Lord, one's consciousness will be on him continuously, and the result of that is ananda. And the cause of the ability to do that is premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. It is prema I want to serve. I want to please. This is bhakti. I want to please someone other than me. Wanting to please me all the time, which is what my conditioned consciousness, the consciousness that I always have, is just simply a product of the material energy, the product of false ego. Self-absorption, false ego. And wanting to please Krishna is bhakti. And when that bhakti develops to the point of prema, which of course is prema paramarto mahan, which is the goal, then one's samadhi, one's ability to focus is complete. And it's completely natural too. Because if I try, if today I say, oh, this is such an important point that we should focus on the Lord, so I should, from now on, I'm going to always keep my consciousness on Krishna. And I try to do it by my will, by my intelligence, by my own power of determination, because that's not deep. I will get knocked over by the material energy 100 times. I will last 20 seconds at most in my determination, because the material energy, daivya shagunamayi mama maya duratyaya, very difficult. We cannot overcome it by my power. I need help. And that help, it means surrender. Then Krishna reciprocates according to how deep our desire to please is. I want to serve Krishna, but I also want other things. And here is where the problem lies. That is called lack of sincerity on my part. So when our sincerity is full, our desire is full, and we try our best, our parisrama, in the words of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in describing Mother Yashoda's attempt to bind Krishna, our work. When our work is fully sincere, we are doing our part. Fully sincere means trying to actually please the Lord. He's in the center, not doing what I want for my pleasure, but trying to please my beloved. So when that work is fully sincere, that evokes Krishna's kripa shakti, his mercy. And the two together, the sincere endeavor of the devotee and Krishna's kripa shakti, of course it's really, the gap is bridged by Krishna's kripa shakti. We do our little part, and then Krishna's mercy is overwhelming. It overwhelms and closes the difference, the distance. So then we actually can advance. We have to do our part. But really it depends. Our part evokes Krishna's mercy, the mercy of his kripa shakti. And that's the expertise of a devotee, knowing how to evoke Krishna's mercy, to work in such a way that Krishna's mercy flows to us. And Srila Prabhupada has explained this also by quoting his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by saying, don't try to see Krishna, but act in such a way that Krishna will see you. It's such a wonderful point, because it leads one to think. It's such a meditation. How can I act right now in such a way that Krishna will be pleased with me? It's a very heavy meditation. And it brings out, sometimes it brings out in the consciousness, in my consciousness, that I don't really care if Krishna is pleased with me. I have another plan. I want to do something else. I'm not in the right mood to act in such a way that Krishna is pleased with me. I'm bohusaka. I'm many branched in my desires. So therefore, like Prabhupada, I recently heard Prabhupada in a lecture, he explained that people come to Vrindavan and they, when they're older and they spend their whole lives earning money and they have lakhs and lakhs and crores of rupees, and before they come to Vrindavan they give this to their family and say, you take this, this is for you, and I'm going to Vrindavan, and every month send me 250 rupees. Of course, Prabhupada said this a while ago, because if you had 250 now, you might be able to get to Loy Bazaar in a rickshaw. But people were able to. When we first came to Vrindavan, to get a rickshaw to Loy Bazaar was 1 rupee, 25 paisa. That was a long time ago. But so Prabhupada said, everything for the family and 250 rupees for Krishna. And then he said that if you are 250 rupees for Krishna, Krishna will be 250 rupees for you. Yeye tamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyam. So the sincerity of our attempt is our part in bhakti. It is our part in the process of bhakti. And Krishna's mercy is his part. So sometimes I find myself, and then Prabhupada actually talked about this in the same lecture. He said, I don't give myself fully to Krishna, and I want Krishna to overlook that and give himself fully to me. So of course he's a better businessman than that. He knows he knows just what we're up to inside, what our consciousness is like. And he's not foolish, because by bhakti, sadhulabha, he is purchased. Even bhava bhakti, sandrandananda visheshatma, moksha lagulakrit, minimizes all liberation and attracts Krishna. So the point being is that we should become absorbed. So how to become absorbed in actually wanting to please Krishna, to serve Krishna with great devotion? How can that desire blossom in our heart? Please listen. Lord Shiva is described in this verse. Oh. Although the word manunam adyam are significant here, also the words manunam adyam are significant here because they mean a philosopher or one who is thoughtful, can think very nicely. Such a man is called a manu, one who thinks deeply, and one who doesn't think deeply is pashu. Lord Shiva is described in this verse as the chief of all thinkers. Lord Shiva, of course, does not engage in useless mental speculation. But as stated in the previous verse, he is always thoughtful regarding how to deliver the demons from their fallen condition of life. So this is the kind of the way that a thoughtful person, a deep person, or a manu, or a man, thinks. How to help others and deliver them from their fallen condition of life. But Prabhupada continues. It is said that during the advent of Lord Chaitanya, Sadashiva appeared as Advaita Prabhu. And Advaita Prabhu's chief concern was to elevate the fallen conditioned souls to the platform of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Since people were engaged in useless occupations which would continue their material existence, Lord Shiva, in the form of Advaita, Lord Advaita, appealed to the Supreme Lord to appear as Lord Chaitanya to deliver these illusioned souls. So, the meditation of Lord Shiva is being described and the depth of his compassion, loudly calling out to Gauranga Mahaprabhu to come with loud cries and worshipping his shalagram with Gangajal, and loud cries, fully full-hearted, sincere cries for the Lord to come. His prayer was for others, full-hearted. Of course, one can call out loudly, but with the full heart. This is full sincerity. This was his desire. This is what gives praying potency. Full desire, full sincerity. So his sincerity, his full desire was to help the fallen conditioned souls. So he appealed to the Supreme Lord to appear as Lord Chaitanya to deliver these illusioned souls. Actually, Lord Chaitanya appeared on the request of Lord Advaita. Similarly, Lord Shiva has a sampradaya, the Rudra sampradaya. He is always thinking about the deliverance of the fallen souls as exhibited by Lord Advaita Prabhu. And that's the end of Srila Prabhupada's purport. And the way to meditate fully absorbed is to take part in Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And that is by chanting Krishna's names, by always engaged in sankirtan in one form or another. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur expanded to our great fortune our understanding of what sankirtan is. Everything that's in glorification of Krishna, the great kirtan, the great combined kirtan, the very merciful kirtan. So we should chant Krishna's names, take some service in the sankirtan mission of Lord Chaitanya, of Sri Advaita Prabhu, of Srila Prabhupada, of Lord Shiva, and become absorbed in it and experience Brahmananda and Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, we should take some service, become absorbed in it, try our best to become absorbed in it, do our part, and see how weak we are, become humble, and pray for the mercy of Krishna to help us.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for such a wonderful discussion.
You mentioned at least I read the whole purport. And if I was giving class tomorrow, I would ask if anyone remembers anything. That's the real test. If you can last a whole day, if someone can last a whole day and remember something.
You mentioned about chanting with the focused concentration.
On?
You mentioned that chanting with focused concentration. And then you mentioned that that we can't chant on our own. Like, what is the endeavor part?
The endeavor is the attempt. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that no one can actually overcome inattentiveness in japa, for example, by his own power. But what will evoke, and then he explained that it actually can be done only by Krishna's mercy. But what will evoke Krishna's mercy? It's our sincere attempt to do that. And then he says, oh, my devotee is trying so hard. Maybe he has this fault and this problem and this lack and this. But let me help him. But it is the sincere attempt of the devotee that evokes mercy. Yes, you want to?
So what is that sincere attempt?
The sincere attempt is we try our best consistently.
I generally try, what is my conception is trying to hear the holy name, trying to recite. Yeah.
That's so.
Is that what you're mentioning, or it's more much deeper?
Well, that's a good place to start, to remove the offense of pramada, which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes inattentiveness as the the source of all other offenses. So that's a very good place to start with our sincere chanting, to try to chant attentively with our mind on what we are doing. And then we see our lack and our lack of ability. And the natural result of that is trinadapisunichena, is humility. And then when humility will cover our mood, then the chanting will still have more power, be less mechanical, but it will be a sincere calling out for Krishna's help, because we need it. But unless we try, we don't know. Because I see that pride makes me think that I can do everything by my power. So the only way I can learn is to try my best by my power. And then I see it is necessary, but it is insufficient, because I'm tiny, I'm insignificant.
Sometime back I heard a concept that endeavor is not external, but endeavor is an internal, of an internal heart. So, like, could you touch this?
I'm not sure what you mean. Endeavor is not an external. Yeah, you have to put your consciousness in it. Because I can chant, your name is Krishna Balaram. Yeah? No, I'm sorry. Goloka. I'm sorry. Excuse me. So I can say your name with my mind completely somewhere else. And you, I don't want to do it now because it'll embarrass you, but it's such a nice name. But if I'm calling you, but I'm not serious, and my mind is thinking about so many other things that I want to do, and I'm thinking in this problem and that problem, it will have a completely different effect than if I call you, Goloka Vrindavan, I want to speak to you now. I have to speak to you, Goloka Vrindavan Prabhu. I need to see you. Even though I've made that up for right now, but it has a different effect. So when we are serious, and I've found that Krishna doesn't hear my prayers or my chanting when I'm not serious, when I don't mean it. So it's a question of intention very much. We have to bring our consciousness to the act. You can sweep the floor and just sweep the floor like you can pay someone to sweep the floor. And you could be doing it, that's the endeavor, but that's not what pleases Krishna. What pleases Krishna, you can sweep the temple room or cook an offering, but Krishna, let me do this in such a way that you'll be pleased. Oh, Krishna Balaram, let me do this in such a way that you'll be pleased. Oh, my Guru Maharaj, oh, Srila Prabhupada. So let me chant in such a way that you will see me, that you'll be pleased with me. So to be able to focus on the holy name is not actually within my power, but to make the attempt is. And then maybe Krishna will say, oh, look at this hopeless fellow. If I don't help, he's trying so hard. If I don't help him, what will happen? This is the mood. This is the beginning of Vraha Bhava, actually, which is the method taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's just to try to do whatever we're doing, our service, nam seva, chanting, whatever. What service do you do, Prabhu? Taking care of the devotees. So take care of them in such a way. If you take care of them in such a way that you'll be pleased, they'll all be serving you. And if you take them care of them in such a way that Krishna will be pleased, you'll be serving them. So it's a matter of consciousness. And it's hard to serve, especially if a conditioned soul, because the conditioned soul is thinking, Ishwaraham, aham bhogi. It's all about me. I want to be the controller. What's the use of doing this service if I don't get something for me in it? At least 2%. Okay, a materialistic person wants 100%, and he won't work unless he gets something. So for aspiring devotees, then I want something, 2%. Labha puja pratishtari yata upasakagan. I want people to say, oh, what a nice devotee. He's so nice. And I'll serve you in such a way that they understand that they should really serve me. So I want something. But that is not the Abhideya Tattva. The Abhideya Tattva, Srila Jiva Goswami describes, is anyabhilasita sanyam, bhakti done with purity of motive. That means everything for Krishna. Anukulena Krishna anasyalaram, bhakti uttamam. That is what will lead us to prema. Since, in other words, fully sincere, nothing for me. How much love there has to be to do something for another without trying to take something for me. It sounds easy, and it is easy to understand. So we try to chant, we try to bring the consciousness, that consciousness that let me act in such a way that Krishna will be pleased, that he will see me, into everything we do. Whether we're distributing books or sweeping the temple floor or managing or teaching or studying or chanting or worshiping the deities, playing the harmonium, singing Krishna's names. How should I sing in such a way that Krishna will be pleased, that it will be pleasing to his heart? Everything like that. Cooking, traveling, speaking, how to deal with the other devotees. This is the most difficult, practically, because we see the devotees every day. How to deal with the other devotees in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. Such a meditation. So if we take it seriously, we will become in samadhi and experience ananda. Okay, it's late. Let me stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gornatai, Sisi Krishna Balaram, Sisi Varasrama Sandalalita Vishakadevi ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinda ki jai.